Fired up. Heading into hour number two. Welcome back. My name is Jim Rome. Broadcasting from the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Nice to be here. Come to find out that LA Rams defensive tackle Michael Brocker is at the very last second. Got called into a meeting. They were very apologetic. We'll probably reset that for another time. He's been on the program before, so I know we'll make good on that. 1-800-636-8686. Aaron Wise won his first PGA Tour event. We're going to have a conversation with him any second. In fact, what second's better than right now? We are joined by a PGA golfer. He won the Byron Nelson on Sunday. That is his first career PGA win. He shot a final round 65 on Sunday to win by three strokes. He broke the tournament record as well. He was a 2016 NCAA individual champ, a member of the 2016 NCAA championship team at Oregon. Aaron Wise is my guest. Aaron, it's nice to have you on the show this morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good, Aaron. So you've had a couple of days for it all to sink in. I wonder, how does it feel to record your first PGA Tour win, and does it feel the way you thought it would?
It's incredible. You know, it's a lot of work. It's probably busier than I thought it would be, but handling it all and loving every second of it.
All right, so you were building towards this moment in the sense that earlier this month you finished in a tie for second at the Wells Fargo Championship. What did you take away from that experience of being in contention and playing intense rounds on the weekend that maybe you were able to apply to the Byron Nelson?
Yeah, it just took a lot of confidence away from that experience. It was pretty cool to be in that situation for, that was really my first time ever, and to see how well I played, and especially going up against the likes of Jason Day around such a tough golf course, it was pretty cool, and I took so much confidence away, and I think that really did great for me there at the Byron Nelson. You know, I played great down the stretch and was really proud of the way I closed out that tournament.
You know, there's breaking through and finishing, and then there's dealing with a four-hour rain delay, and then going out and breaking the tournament scoring record. So what was that whole Sunday experience like for you?
Yeah, you know, it almost makes it a little bit sweeter just because, for a rookie to be put in that situation and for me to overcome just that weight, you know, because obviously thoughts are popping into your head and you've got to be able to calm yourself down. And it really made the win that much more sweeter for my first win to come after, you know, really having to wait and think about it for a long time. And, you know, I was really proud of the way I was able to calm myself down, go out there and play golf just like I had the rest of the week. You know, I played great. I hit the ball amazing and I made some putts.
Aaron Wise joining us. You were able to calm yourself down. I'm kind of curious how you did that. For instance, when you're dealing with a rain delay, it's going to mess up your routine. It could easily mess with your head. So how were you able to stay in the right headspace and still go out there and shoot a 65 on Sunday?
Yeah, you know, luckily my mom flew in and she was there to kind of spend the time with me. And we went to breakfast and hung out and kind of just killed the time. And that definitely helped a ton. And then once I kind of start my pre-round warm-up, which is like by going to the gym to warm my body up before I head to the course, it was all kind of like just getting into the regular flow. You know, I kind of forgot about that I had just gone through rain delay, and it was like as if I just had a really late tee time that day and was starting my warm-up really late.
Now, the mom angle is interesting in the sense that the story was she was hanging out with you during the rain delay, hoping to help you kill that time, but you had to kick her out of your room. Is that story true? And if so, how did that go down?
Yeah, it is true. It was... You know, kind of funny, just because she was amped up, she was excited. You know, everyone around me was anxious to kind of get the day started. And obviously, I had to kind of keep my emotions under control. And I didn't really want to think about the future as she was. And, you know, I just was like, look, I'm going to take a nap. I need to kind of refresh and hit the refresh button. And she kind of left, went down to the lobby, and, you know, the rest is history. I was able to refresh. It was awesome to spend the win with her after spending the whole morning with her. And, you know, there was a bunch of nervous energy that morning, and for me to go out there and play as well as I did and get the win was pretty incredible.
Well, all the more amazing, Aaron, because, again, your first win, and you're a rookie. You sound like you've been doing this a long time. You sound like somebody who's been through this before, even if you had not. Now, what's really amazing is, correct me if I'm wrong, were you not playing high school golf only 4 years ago, and now you're winning on the PGA Tour? I mean, does that all feel real to you? That's kind of amazing to me.
That's the one stat that people keep bringing up that still blows my mind. You know, it's college, I understand, but to be in high school 4 years ago is truly unreal to me just because I feel so far removed from that part of my life. I feel like that was ages and ages ago, and to think it's only been 4 years and how far I've come, it's truly eye-opening to see how quickly it's all happened and kind of puts things in perspective for me to kind of realize that how lucky I am and how special it's been and to soak it all in while it's happening.
We're talking to Aaron Wise for a few more moments. You know, I guess if you were like this crazy, crazy prodigy, and don't get me wrong, I mean, you're an extremely gifted guy, but if you had had this amazing junior background, maybe people could see this coming. But the fact is, you didn't have a huge profile in the junior golf ranks, in part because you didn't travel very much. So when did you first start to think, not only can I play college golf, I could take this to the next level, and I can make a career out of this?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I didn't even think I could play college golf until, like, junior year of high school when I luckily qualified for Junior Worlds, which is right down the street from my house, and came third. And that was really the first big national junior golf tournament I'd ever played in. And for me to finish third, you know, opened the eyes of a lot of college recruiters to me and allowed me to go to college. And then, you know, I didn't even think I could play professional golf until middle of my sophomore year in college. So it all has happened so fast, and you know, it's truly just come together, and I just try to keep believing in myself, keep playing great golf. And you know, they say if you play great golf, the rest takes care of itself, and it seemed like that's kind of happening for me.
Again, you don't sound like a rookie. Now, when you talk about it coming together, I mean, the plan came together. Now, lots of people have good plans that do not come together, but think about this. The ideal way to go about this would be to, say, win on the McKenzie Tour, then get a win on the Web.com Tour, and then get to the PGA Tour, but that's exactly how that's set up, and that's exactly what you did. How were you able to lay out a plan like that and then go out and execute it the way you have?
Yeah, you know, I just, when I was decided to leave and leave school to go play professional golf, I just worked with my team, and we came up with a great plan. And like you said, there's a ton of great plans out there, but rarely are they executed as well as somehow ours luckily worked out. And you know, I think I might be the first person to ever win their first year on McKenzie, move to the Web, win the first year there, move to PGA, and win the first year on the PGA. So it's truly just, you know, a testament to, you know, playing great golf and, you know, believing in myself, and it's just worked out incredible. I can't, you know, think I'm lucky enough for that all to come together like it did.
Aaron Wise joining us. A couple of quick thoughts before I let you go. At one point, you were playing a practice round with Phil Mickelson, and he told you, just whatever you do, remain patient. It's easy to get caught up week to week, and it can become a real roller coaster life on tour, but it's only going to lead to stress. What did you take away from that conversation with him?
You know, it was pretty cool to have that conversation with him after all his years out on tour, for him to tell me that, you know, it's a long time and it's going to feel like a sprint. And that really resonated with me because at the time I talked to him, it did feel like a sprint. You know, I had just left college. That was at a U.S. Open practice round when he gave me that advice. So I just left college. I had McKenzie Tour status, but obviously your goal is to be on the PGA Tour at that point, and you're trying to do it as quickly and as fast as possible. And for him to tell me, look, you're a great player. It's going to come. You just need to relax and be patient and let it happen was pretty cool and something that, you know, advice I'll never forget, just because it's easy to get caught up in how fast time goes out here. And you know, you got to realize that, you know, especially middle of the season, because I wasn't playing great in the beginning, and for me to be able to rely on that advice, stay patient, and you know, my time came and I was lucky enough to take advantage of it.
And then one last thing, another really cool thing. As some people know, you were born in South Africa before moving to the United States when you were three. I've run down your list of accomplishments: NCAA champion, McKenzie Tour winner, Web.com Tour winner, and now a PGA Tour winner. All great. But I would argue that there might not be anything cooler than having the man himself, Gary Player, tweet at you. What was your reaction when you saw that legend tweet at you last year?
Yeah, you know, it's not the first time. He tweeted me after this win. He tweeted me, I think, after NCAAs. And, you know, it's pretty cool to know that he's been following my career. He's an absolute legend in the game. And for me to have someone like that not only following me but kind of supporting me along the way just gives me a ton of confidence, and it's something I really look forward to. I hope, I've never met him in person. I hope one day I can get to meet him in person and thank him for all he's done for me.
What a great story and a great, great win coming off the weekend. Aaron, really nice to have you on the program. Glad to have you come in and share your story with us. I really appreciate that so much, Aaron. Thank you. Have a great day.
Absolutely.
That was fun. Aaron Wise. That guy does not sound like somebody who was playing high school golf 4 years ago. I know he doesn't look like it or play like it or act like it, but then you have a conversation like that. I mean, it sounds like the guy's been in it 15 years, 20 years. Extremely mature. Handles his business on and off the course. All right, 1-800-636-8686. We were wide open until the last segment of the show. Mark Stein joins us to talk some NBA then. A couple of quick hit emails. It's going to be a good hour. By the way, I've got really good content for you this hour. This email says, well, the subject of the email says, milking that cold for all it's worth, aren't you, pimp? Let me stop right there. Do you know the show? Like Geoff and Lincoln. Geoff, you know the show. I know you know the show. You know, say what you want about where I come out on this angle or this take. You know the one thing, even if I take time for vacation, you know I don't take sick days. I'm not milking anything, Geoff. Hey, Geoff, you're milking your emails pretty hard. Like, if I keep sending them, if I'm a volume shooter, if I send Vance Mack like 1,000 a week, maybe he'll read 4. Kind of milking that that laptop of yours, huh, Geoff? No, bro, come on, man. You know better than that. If I were milking it, I'd be blowing my nose on the air. I'd be coughing on the air and waiting for somebody to finally say, hey, man, hey, legend, hey, hero, you sound like crap. You look like crap, man. Just take the day off. Nobody wants to hear that. But nobody's saying that, Geoff. In fact, you know what I'm getting from my programmers? You know what I'm getting from the suits? Damn, Van Smack, you sound better than you normally do. There must be something to playing hurt. And my response is, of course. Douse you in even more. Geoff? Geoff and Lincoln. Hey, Geoff, anybody who spells your name the way you spell your name should not be pointing the finger at anybody about anything. Got that, Geoff? Unwore table legs being used as a weapon on the basketball court. Hashtag meta podcast. All right, Geoff, all is forgiven. All is forgiven. You mentioned meta. Meta is the subject of this week's ep of the Jim Rohn podcast. I've got that for you, too, coming up. Working from home, guys, the way he signed that. I was so bent out of shape about him telling me that I was milking it. Working from home, guy. Geoff, if you could get paid what you were paid right now without ever leaving the house, would you not do that? You know you would, Geoff. Hey, Rome, go outside, grab some leaves, boil them for 5 minutes, combine the leaf water with some lemon tea, then drink it upside down. You're welcome. Signed, Home Remedy Guy. Liam Vancouver. Dear James, some advice for you. Pound some chlorophyll. It worked great on me. Signed, Don McNabb.
How much have you had to drink tonight?
Nothing.
Are you sure?
Yes.
How come I can smell it on you then?
Well, first of all, I got a cold. So I've been on cough medicine. So like I said, I got...
What kind of cough medicine?
Chlorophyll, Robitussin.
Do you have something in your mouth right now? Is that
chlorophyll,
a cough drop?
That's it. That's two okay. cough drops. Okay. So like I said, I've been really sick. Like I said, I live 2 blocks away. I've been just going home. My wife, my kids, I'm not into that. And when I hit her, I told her, I said, look, first of all, I'm going home, ma'am. And she said, well, let's just wait. I said, no problem. I'll wait.
Here's the deal. Can we just run you through some tests just to make sure that you're good to go to drive?
No problem.
Okay.
Oh, it's a problem, Don. It's a real problem.
Chlorophyll.
Imagine that, dude. I mean, that was everything except, you know who I am? Yeah, you were the guy off to the side of the field during the Super Bowl puking his guts out. Allegedly. Allegedly, or at least according to T.O. That's what Two said. Two said it. So if Two said it, it must be true. I mean, imagine the mindset. All right, I know. I'm going to start throwing cards. I'm 2 blocks from home, card. Oh, you're that close? Go ahead. Get back in your rig and just go. Just go. And how about that mindset? All right, now what am I going to do? Ah, damn. They're the lights. Quick, let's get some cough drops. I'm just going to say I was sick. And that smell, like the cough drops will drown out the smell of the whiskey anyway, right? And be sure to tell the officer that it was chlorophyll. And when you've been drinking, allegedly, man, I don't know the mindset of a cop, but I've always been led to believe that if you were drinking, don't say you haven't had a single drink. How about this? Don't drink and drive. I would start right there. But definitely don't lie outright and say, I haven't had anything to drink. That never goes well. And whatever you do, do not tell the cop when they ask you what you've had tonight that it was chlorophyll.
Chlorophyll.
Chlorophyll and Robitussin. That did not go well. For my man Don. Mike in Omaha. And... Even if I don't go out of my way out of my lane to bring that up, I don't have to because one of you brings that up every single day. There's not a day that I'm on the air that somebody does not reset that soundbite. Every single day, no matter what we're talking about. Like, somebody will look at that Brandi Chastain bust. Oh, look at that, man. That looks nothing like Brandi Chastain. Signed, Donovan McNabb, saying it was chlorophyll.
Dude,
stop pushing that in there. That's got nothing to do with the other thing. Every single day, I get several tweets on that. There, I acknowledged it today. Can we all keep moving? When we return, the list of demands from you clones grows. Got an update there. Also, Meta World Peace is the subject of this week's podcast. I want to set that up for you, too. There is a Brandi Chastain update. It didn't just jump the day. It jumped the day with an update. There's a new angle to that story, which I will have for you, too. All that's still ahead. Mark Weiss, or Mark Stein, I should say, coming up next hour. Zypa. Let me spell it for you. Z-Y-P-P-A-H. Z-Y-P-P-A-H. Happy Z spelled backwards. Zypa. Now, if you go to bed with a Zypa, you're going to wake up with happy Z's. Did you know one night of bad sleep can ruin your entire day? Are you traveling for Memorial Day weekend? Are you planning a summer vacation? You do not want to ruin the entire vacation with snoring all night long. Vacations are supposed to be a time for rest and relaxation. How are you going to get that rest? How are you going to relax if there's constant snoring all night long? The answer is you're not going to. So what you need to do is get a Zypa before you take that vacation. Snoring, still not sleeping. If you or somebody you know snores, go to Zypa.com. Zypa is guaranteed to stop snoring. You have nothing to lose, because if you're not happy for any reason, return it for a full refund. Snoring is rude. It's disrespectful. It's offensive. You do not want to ruin another holiday weekend or summer vacay with snoring. Get your Zypa today. Ensure that you have a great summer. Get a Zypa.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
is flying right on by, as you know, and if you want to continue to make this the best year you've ever had, to elevate your game to another level, you can do so. And my buddies at Lumber Liquidators is going to make it so, especially if you're a contractor or a builder or a remodeler. Listen up. Elevating your game for the rest of the year got a whole lot easier. They can help you out with their new LL Pro Plus program. LL Pro Plus is Lumber Liquidators' new pro services team. You can call on them for all your professional flooring needs. LL Pro Plus helps you crush it with professional pricing and dedicated support to get you what you need when you need it, so you get those projects finished on time. They give you the ultimate value and quality, and with LL Pro Plus, it almost doesn't matter how big or small that job is, they'll hook you up. Put the flooring experts on your team today. Visit your local Lumber Liquidator store or go to lumberliquidators.com. Let's continue to make 2018 the best year ever with Lumber Liquidators. All right, phone calls coming up. I want to talk about the podcast for a minute. And listen, when I do this, this is not one of those like crazy obvious shills. There is good content. I mean, yes, I'm trying to direct you to it, but the reason I'm trying to direct you to it is because it's good content. Content that you don't hear on this show. It's a different show. I'm still trying to educate you on what a podcast is. Our podcast, which runs once a week, is a show unto itself. It's a different show than this show. I can't do the interviews on that podcast. They wouldn't work here. They don't fit here. There's a reason why those interviews are over there. So I really want you to listen to it. So we have another week and another totally fresh, totally premium podcast episode, which is ready and waiting. So go ahead and give it a spin. This week on the Jim Rome Podcast, my guest is Meta World Peace, who you might remember as the longtime lockdown defender, Ron Artest, back in the day. 30 years in, I've talked to almost everybody that I've ever wanted to talk to in the business, in this game, but Meta was one of the few guys that I never was able to run down until yesterday. You know, for a lot of different reasons, I'm sure. But I'm so glad that we did. He's got a brand new book out right now. And if you think this dude has only one story to tell, and that story is about running up into the seats to give some jack wagon the hands, then you don't know this guy. There's a lot more to this guy than just that one bad night. One night does not define this guy. So when you hear about how he came up playing ball in the streets in New York, then you really start to understand not only what he was like or why he was like that as a player, but why he's made some of the choices and done some of the things he's done as a man when you consider the way he came up.
You'll do anything to play a basketball game. You know, like you'll go like the Far Rockaway Queen back in the 90s or Gershwin Park in Brooklyn or Hamels, and it's like places like, I hope nothing goes down. Sometimes it wasn't safe to play basketball.
When you were young and you were playing with like grown-ass men, I mean, what was that like? Were these guys always testing you? Did you play angry? Did you have to kind of front? I mean, how did you handle yourself in those games?
Sometimes, I remember one time I was playing with my buddy Stephon Barnes. I remember we had a game, and we was in Hamels, and we got chased out of the park. We was playing well. Team was talking trash. We was talking trash. We won the game. We was only 12 years old, man. It was only one way out the park, and we had to do it. Like, literally, we had to do about two to three circles just dodging. Cause I didn't know where the hits was coming from. They smashed my man's head at the free throw line with a bottle, and we was young kids, but it was normal. And that's where we play ball at, you know. And sometimes we just hope, like, we don't get into a fight in somebody else's neighborhood. Because the thing was, you was going to play against good competition. That's all I cared about was, like, who's there. I don't care, like, where I'm going. You know what I'm saying? And that was the mindset.
Meta World Peace. So this dude was running with adults in hardcore neighborhoods when he was a kid. And that's why he was always one of the most fearless guys ever in the NBA. But that doesn't mean fearless is one thing. It didn't mean, though, that he didn't have anxiety. It doesn't mean that he didn't get nervous. And in 2010, in a game that Laker fans will never, ever forget, Game 7 of the Finals, 2010, against the Celtics, he flew in his psychologist before that game to help him kind of ready himself and calm himself down for a big Game 7, and it worked.
That game, I knew I was going to have to do something spectacular, but I didn't have enough confidence in myself that I'll be able to get it done. So I called my psychologist, and she flew in from Houston, and I wanted to work some things out. Getting on the court, maybe Paul Pierce says something, takes me out of my game. Garnett, you know, he started rah-rahing, takes me out of my game. Kendrick Perkins, you know, so all that type of stuff, like, it can distract me. Because I just be ready to fight rather than play the game. And I didn't want that to happen in that game. You know, so in that game, I was able to do some things that I felt like I couldn't have done on my own.
That is such a great answer. I mean, I've never heard him say that before, that he knew that was the biggest game of his life, and he was concerned. I mean, he just said it. I didn't have the confidence that I could do what I needed to do, and I was concerned that maybe Pierce or Garnett would say something to take me out of my game in a Game 7, and I'd want to fight and not play. So I brought my psychologist in, and we worked some things out. Remember, he knocked in a dagger 3 late in that game. Remember that famous interview he did on the court afterwards when he won that championship? And he talked about the work, and he thanked his psychologist for what she had done for him, and he's been an advocate for mental health ever since. It's an incredible behind-the-scenes story that he tells on the pod, and he sets the whole thing up. And if you are wondering about the brawl, did we talk about the brawl? We talked about the brawl. Of course we did. And Meta was pretty honest about that as well. Like when he told me how much blame, and understand this guy will answer any question. I mean, he reads like an open book, you know, bad cliche and a bad pun, but he will answer any question, and he's real, and he's candid. But when I asked him if the punishment fit the crime and how much of the blame he thinks he deserves for going up into the stands to try to clock some fan, here's how he responded.
I didn't really do anything wrong but try to kick somebody's ass who hit me. I don't just go into the stands whipping people's ass. You know, it cost a lot financially. I say it was like 20% of my fault for running into the stands. The other 80% was the guy who thought up this brilliant idea to hit me with a rubber band.
I got to hear that again. That's an amazing answer. He's like, hey, man, I'm not just going up into the stands to kick somebody's ass for no reason. It's 20% my fault for doing it, but it's all the other guy's fault who had the brilliant plan to begin with. This is an amazing answer.
I didn't really do anything wrong but try to kick somebody's ass who hit me. I don't just go into the stands whipping people's ass. You know, it cost a lot financially. I say it was like 20% of my fault for running into the stands. The other 80% was the guy who thought up this brilliant idea to hit me with a rubber band.
I mean, I couldn't help but laugh. Meta, he was so great. Like, when I asked him about that, he said, it cost me a lot. I said, you know, it did, Meta. It cost you like several million. And then he interrupts me. He cuts me off and he goes, I'll tell you what it cost me. And then he ran down what it cost him. And even better, he wanted to make the point the reason, and we get into this in the podcast, remember the guy that he went into the stands to hit was not the guy who threw the drink. The guy that he went after bet the other guy $50 he wouldn't throw the cup at Meta. So Meta, if you talk to Meta, like for 30 minutes, he'll say, I wish I could have done this differently. I'll own this. This was my mistake. This was my fault. I didn't know. But it was at that point where he talks about the brawl where he says, hey, look, that's not on me. That guy hit me. And if anybody is going to hit me, they're going to get hit back. And he made it sound like, you know, this would happen again. If you hit me, you're going to get something back. So that was an amazing part of that conversation, too. I mean, this is really, really good. You can't knock how real that was. The entire episode is like that. Literally, the whole episode. 30 minutes of Meta telling me exactly how he feels about every question I asked. And we actually had a good moment at the very top where I said, Meta, I don't think you and I have ever talked. And he said something effective. Yeah, I don't think we have either, Jim. Because a lot of times I really didn't care for what you had to say. However, he has this amazing line at the beginning. He goes, I think both of our careers worked out pretty well, so it's good to talk to you today. Meta was great. I'm so glad we did that. Check it out. Very authentic. Oh. Should I hold this over? Really quickly. Not only do you get that, but I didn't clear my answering machine the episode before. So what that means is the dreaded double batch this week. Over 15 voicemails on Ep 38, including these half a dozen or so right here to give you a taste.
Next message.
War to all coworkers using the office bathroom stall to growl out at Ted.
Message deleted. Next message.
Yo, it's Lauren in Naples. Good smack. I almost got fired today because of you. But good talk. Vance smack all day.
Message saved. Next message.
Rome. Quit letting this little bitch Jeff call in. He's a little crybaby bitch.
Message deleted. Next message.
Romy, don't worry, man. I'm overnighting 3 boxes of tissues to Jeff in San Antonio so he can ball his eyes out like a bitch.
Message deleted. Next message.
Rome, this is Jeff in San Antonio.
Message deleted. Next message.
Tim, FBI Mike. Hey, man, hope you're having a great weekend. Hope you're catching them Billboard Music Awards tonight. You know, it's the biggest night in music, they say, especially because Kelly Clarkson's the host.
Message deleted. Next message.
Hey, Rome, it's John. That Goggins podcast inspired me, man. I'm thinking of getting into shape. Can I just run across that Kelly dude's forehead, like, once or twice?
Message deleted.
There you go. Just a taste. And Jeff in San Antonio took even more heat than even that. Y'all are still on him. When we return. All right, so I've done quite a bit for you, right? Some good interviews, or a good interview, good takes. Now I'm looking for you to step it up. 1-800-636-8686. Come on, phone lines are open. Mark Stein coming up next hour. I will update the list of demands. I will update that Brandi Chastain story and more. First up, a sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Speaking of the PGA Tour, the tour's top golfers, including John Rahm, Webb Simpson, Ricky Fowler, and Jordan Spieth, take on the Colonial Country Club at the Fort Worth Invitational. It's this weekend on CBS. Make sure you check that out. I definitely will be doing that on the holiday weekend. So yesterday, the internet lost its collective bleep over that bronze plaque of U.S. women's soccer legend, Brandi Chastain. Now, the reason is the bust part of the plaque looks something like, or nothing like Brandi Chastain, I should say. It looked nothing like her. It looked like John Voight. It looked like Mrs. Doubtfire. It looked like the Hood himself, Bill Belichick. I mean, this thing was so off, so misguided, that it trended on Twitter for nearly the entire day. You know how badly you have to miss the mark on a Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame plaque to get it to trend on Twitter and to get it to trend for the entire day? Again, we're not talking about Cooperstown. We're not talking about Canton. We're talking about a regional plaque for a Hall of Fame that pretty much the rest of the world had no idea even existed until they put Brandi Chastain's name and bio under a bronze pick of Gary Busey. And the reaction was so widespread. So widespread that less than 36 hours later, the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame is walking it back already. Less than 36 hours later. And great. Perfect. They should. They should not only walk that thing back, they should issue an apology to Brandi and every other old dude that was accidentally congratulated yesterday for that honor. However, Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame president Kevin O'Brien decided to rip a page from the plaque artist and totally mangle the retraction. Yesterday, KTVU-TV reported that O'Brien said he spoke with Brandi Chastain on Tuesday and offered to redo the plaque if she sent a new photograph of herself. I'm sorry, what? Wait, what? You need a photograph of Brandi Chastain to avoid chiseling out some bust of Jimmy Carter again, right? Let me ask you something. I mean, you're in the Bay Area, right? A lot of technology in the Bay Area, right? Does Google Images not load or something up in the Bay Area? Do you really need Brandi to go into her photo album and lick a stamp and overnight you that headshot? She's Brandi Chastain. How the hell can you not figure out what she looks like without her sending in a photo? How can you not find a photo of her without her sending in a photo? Now, of course, she's all class. She handled the first thing with all class, and she's handling this with all class, and she agreed to help them out. Never mind that a quick search on the internet kicks back an endless scroll of pictures of her. I guess she'll do all the work and save you the trouble from figuring out exactly what she looks like. Yeah, and don't look for the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame to pay postage on that photo either. Because Kevin O'Brien actually went on record with a statement about redoing the plaque, and it said, quote, "It's expensive, but it's the right thing to do," end quote. Bro, you sure you want that gig? Are they sure that you're the right bro for that gig? Quote, "It's expensive, but it's the right thing to do." Right. I mean, that'd be like some over-the-hill pop drunk singer smashing his car into your house, jumping the curb and driving into your living room and saying that he'll pay for the expensive repairs. They're expensive, but it's the right thing to do. This guy's like the dude who's going to wait for the barista to turn around so she can see him drop that single into the tip car or tip jar because it's the right thing to do. And he wants her to know that he went into his pocket for that buck. Yeah, so sorry that making a woman look like Mickey Rooney or Bill Belichick is going to cost you a little extra money, Kev. But you are right. It is the right thing to do. Maybe next time, do not commission somebody to depict Mickey Rooney for a Brandi Chastain plaque next time. That'll save you a few bucks. It's not as expensive if you do it right the first time. But I thought that nothing could be worse than the plaque that they unveiled. But this guy telling the local news that if she sends a new picture, he will do it. It's expensive, but he'll do it because it's the right thing to do. Take the rest of the day off. Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame. Check that. Take the rest of your life off, because clearly no one around there knows what the hell they're doing, or more importantly, what is the right thing to do. They asked her for a picture. You know, it's going to cost us some money to knock that thing out again, but we'll do it. We'll do it because it's the right thing to do. Hey, can you send us an updated pic? Can you send us an updated pic? Because there aren't 8 billion pictures on the internet of Brandi Chastain. Wow. So if you want people to talk about you, it worked. If you want people looking at you, it worked. If you want anybody to know that you even exist, it worked. Something else. Mark Stein coming up next hour. Let's see here. Checking out. The wife is in. Hadn't heard her old man on the radio yet. Sound pretty good, right, babe? I sound pretty awesome, don't I? Romy, you seriously need to be sick more often. Voice is rocking today. Takes her fire. Hawk shirt. Looks like a 1990s computer screensaver. It's as bad as Brandi Chastain's bronze mug. Wore tapeworm head and segments. Right? This is what I'm saying. I may look like crap. I may sound even worse, but the show is good. Don't tell me today's show is not good because you know it is. You know it is. I will own it when it's not. I will own it when it is. Today's show is good. Today's show is fire. And I've got a third hour coming up still. Speaking of fire, this guy's going to bring some heat. This guy's gotten better and better and better and better. This guy's a call that I look forward to. Now, Matt in L.A. Matt, what's going on?
GMO, thanks for the vine. Hey, it must be late May on into June because America's little brothers up north, namely Pretty Boy Posse co-captain Matt and Van, you know, the other Matt, is in mid-playoff form right now. Ball-washing American NHL squads en route to Canada's missing link known as Lord Stanley's Cup. Like he's some caddy at the local Maple Leaf Quail Farm golf course. Matthew, while the eventually winning American squad is laden with your denim tuxedo countrymen ice skaters, that doesn't make you or Canada winners, you loser. Maybe you Canuck cuckolds can invent a third sport for us Americans to dominate you at, because hockey and curling have already been ripped out of your lumberjack limbs. Yo, Canada, how about you export a winning team instead of roundham slabs that you mislabel, you furry freaks? And how does it feel to know Cal in Vegas will be attending an NHL championship parade in his hometown before any of you do? That's all I got, Jim. War American domination in sports, unwar the mindless Manitoba Mimbos.
Outro. Hey, Matt in Vancouver. You know you're the other Matt, right? How'd that taste, Matt and Van? How's that grab you? The other Matt? Matt in L.A. This guy went from a call that I frankly didn't really want to see that much to a guy that I like talking to. Better yet, listening to. Nice job, Matt. He got through it. 1-800-636-8686. Let's keep it going. Alaska. I love that we have an affiliate in Alaska. Anchorage. We go to Phil in Alaska. My man. It's great to have you on the show, Phil.
How you doing, Mr. Rome?
Good, good. Phil, how about you? How are things?
Oh, doing good. Just dodging bears in the front yard and watching moose attack people on the highway.
Man, that's awesome. What kind of bears?
Brown bears.
Okay, okay.
So, I'd like to tell these people asking you what they get out of voting that they suck. Because, like my six-year-old asked me yesterday when I asked her to help me take out of the trash, I said, what's in it for me? I said, dinner. You know what's in it for these people asking you what's in it for them? How about quality content? How about hours and hours every week of you putting on a bomb radio show? You're the best interviewer since Howard Cosell. And they don't deserve anything but your best. And that's what you give them every day.
Hey, Phil, listen, I appreciate you saying that, but I want to give you your due credit now, Phil. I want to give you credit. I may give them 3 hours of quality content, but that's not nearly as cool or as snappy as what you just said to your daughter. Hey, honey, help me take out the trash. All right, Dad, what's in it for me? Dinner. Dinner. Rakim, I love that. Dinner, sweetheart. That's what's in it for you. Dinner. Clothing. Your books. Your pencils. Bear spray. Bear spray. The bears are the real deal now. I had an encounter with a bear once. It was scary. Mark Stein, next hour. Stay tuned.